Good morning, guys. Thank you for being here at Village Heights. We are in week three of our collection of talks, Know Thyself. And if this is your first time, if you've missed any of this series, go online. We podcast it. We're on iTunes. We're legit. We're on iTunes, guys. We're on iTunes. If you go to the website, it's all there. You do not want to miss the other two messages. Go back and listen to them. I promise it'll be beneficial to you because we truly want to know ourselves, right? We want to know ourselves and know what we enjoy, and we try to like do things. We try new things to figure that out so we can update those dating profiles. We have stuff to put on Facebook, all those things. But we're always in the search to know ourselves. And so we've been using the life of Daniel to help us find out what that is. Because Daniel was by far one of the most self-aware people in the Old Testament. Self-aware, totally. He knew who he was. He had great opportunities after opportunities to leave a lasting impact in this world. The fact that tens of thousands of years later, we'll be talking about him. I mean, we'll be talking down for a long time because of the cool things that Daniel did, the opportunities that he had. And things weren't always easy. See, when it comes to being self-aware, that doesn't mean your life's going to be easy, okay? For him, it wasn't. He had some difficult things, some challenges that he faced, some difficult decisions. He forced other people to make difficult decisions. That just comes with the territory of being self-aware. So today, we're going to talk about decisions. And I ask you, how do you make decisions? When you have a big decision coming up, whether it's getting married, or you're going to propose, or a job change, whatever it may, how do you make decisions? Do you randomly stab at it? Do you flip a coin? I wouldn't recommend that. But do you talk to people? How do you make decisions? Really analyze it, because self-aware people know. When you are self-aware, you know how you make your decisions, and it's calculated. Self-awareness is a very important thing, and to really be self-aware, I believe this, to really know yourself, you have to know the one who knows you better than yourself, and that's God. And God knows us better than we know ourselves because he created us. He made us. He knows every inch of our body. He knows our cells. He knows our genes. He knows about the decisions that we're going to make and why we're going to make them before we even make them. It's an amazing thing. So to be self-aware, we got to know the one that knows better than ourselves. You can't really know yourself outside of him because, like I said, he created us. He designed us. But that's one of the benefits to being a believer. That's one of the great benefits to being a believer in God, is that you get to know yourself, because he wants to take you down a path to develop you, to make you better, to get you what you were designed for on this world. And when you meet someone and they're like, man, they love their job. They love their company. They love their family. Like, everything just always seems to be working. It does get difficult for them, but because they know who they are in God, they go with confidence. They go with confidence in that. So to do that, we have to know God. So Daniel 6 is what we'll be looking at today, continue on in the story of Daniel. And like I said, Daniel is probably one of the most self-aware people we will ever come into contact with. If you look at his life, you can see he had extreme humility and extreme integrity. And when you have those two things, it's impossible not to have to make difficult decisions. It's impossible that you end up in a situation, because when you have humility and integrity, truth always follows. And when truth is there, somebody's got to make a choice. Okay, when there is an impasse, when two sides are colliding, truth brings the opportunity of choice. And it doesn't always feel good. Sometimes it hurts. But that's what was really cool about Daniel. So we're looking at King Darius and continue on the kingship over Daniel's life. King Darius was the king over the Persians. It's where we left off last time. So we have old Nebuchadnezzar, the Nebulizer, King Nebi, Neb Flanders. I had a lot of names for him. So we learned about him and how he was self-unaware and how God helped him and how Daniel was a part of that. And then we have the grandson, Belshazzar. Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. Name your kids that name. It's an awesome name. But we learned about how he had an opportunity and how Daniel was a part of that. And Daniel gave him the opportunity. He brought the truth, but he made the wrong decision. And it ended life for him. So Darius recognized this. And so what kings did in this time, when they conquered another establishment, a city, another people, what they would do is they would oversee and they would look and they would survey what they've conquered. And because every time they conquered, they became more powerful because they would take the best and the brightest and they would use them, they would education, because there's experiences they had in that kingship that they hadn't had before, and so it just kind of adds to it. When you find, if you run a company, you're a leader in some kind of company, just have a group of friends that you want to be a part of, if you find somebody that is bright, knows what they're doing, you are just gravitated towards them. Because you know, I want them to be a part of what I'm doing, the success that they have, want to be a part of your life. That's what Darius saw in Daniel. He recognized what he had done because Daniel, the things that Daniel did, it echoed throughout the people. His name echoed. So surely King Darius heard about him. And then he figured out he was so brilliant and he had to have him in his fold. And that's where we pick up here in Daniel 6:3. It says, Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and officers. And he had a lot of them. He had a lot of administrators and a lot of officers, hundreds of them. He proved himself more capable than them. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. This is the first sign of the new conflict in Daniel's life. So Daniel had a serious track record of humility, integrity, and also living in the midst of a difficult situation. So I'm happy to say I'm so proud of my staff at Village Heights, because proved last Sunday when one of our key people is down for the count, our staff does not freak out. They handle the pressure, they handle it with eloquence, and we end up having something great. That's what they saw in Daniel. When you find a Daniel in your life, whether it's in your company or in your team, get them in, okay? You want people, when everything's going great, sales are high, I mean, you're basically, people are begging to buy your product, everybody's a winner. But when those tough times hit, when something has to be produced, something needs to be done, you need the Daniels that will stay cool under pressure, and they will bring something great, bring integrity, they'll bring humility, and really come out ahead of things. But the interesting thing about Daniel, and this is where the conflict is, he wasn't Persian. He wasn't Persian. He was a Jew. So you can imagine kind of where all of these hierarchy, what they're feeling in that moment of like, okay, there's a new guy involved. And it's not just we're going to introduce him into the fold. It's a, hey, he's going to run things now. Imagine at your company or where you work. You've been there for a long time. You've put in the hard work. Then all of a sudden, your boss wants to hire somebody that doesn't speak the way you do, doesn't enjoy the things you do, doesn't even operate in the same way you do, and now they're going to be your boss. Some of you have probably been there. You feel a little resentment. You're kind of angry with it. I've been there. I'm sure you have. That's what they were feeling in this moment. Yet Darius was still going to appoint him over the land. In the Bible, we can learn a lot about what to do with Daniels in our life, that figure of being a Daniel in somebody's life. From King Darius, we're going to find out exactly what not to do, what not to do with the Daniels in our life and how bad it can go for you. So what usually happens is when we have a big decision in our life, and Darius, this was a big decision for him. I mean, he's a king. And the future direction of his kingdom has a lot to do with who he appoints in charge of his people. And so this was a big decision, but what he did is he started talking about it, right? And he started talking to everybody about it. It's a lot of like what we do when we have a large decision in our life, we begin to talk about it. But how many times have we been self-unaware and we've talked to too many people? You ever talk to too many people about an important decision? Here's the thing when it comes to decisions and people wanting to give you advice. You can always find somebody that wants to give you advice, boss you around, tell you how to live your life. Chances are most of them are wrong, okay? You can find a lot of wrong what to do out there, and they would love to give it to you, and they will sell it to you like it's gold. Gold. It happens. You can't talk to everybody about what you're going to do. You got to talk to the right people. You got to learn to lean into the Daniels in your life. Lean into the right people in your life. Because if you talk to everyone, like I said, the wrong people will leave your life in a mess. This is what happened to King Darius. Because Christianity, if you're new to Christianity, and maybe this will help you kind of, Christianity is a remnant. And what that means, it's a hope of something that's small that continues on. You can never squash it. You can't kill it. You can't make it go away. It's a remnant. It will always carry on. But through the Bible, we find that most of the time, it's a small crowd. Jesus only had 12 disciples. That's a small crowd. He could have had a bigger one, sure. He's Jesus. He can do whatever he wants. But it was a small crowd. I guarantee you, at your company, there's not a ton of Christians. Now, I'm not talking about the people that force and they got bumper stickers and all the things on their desk and all. I'm talking to people that confidently follow Christ and are willing to talk about it without shoving it in everybody's faces. Those are Christ followers. Those are the people that want to bring people along. But if people don't come, it doesn't insult their faith. Confident Christ followers. There's probably people in your neighborhood. A lot of your neighbors are probably not Christ followers. And some of them, they're proudly confident Christ followers. They're willing to talk about it, but not shove it in people's faces. But they want to bring people in on the journey. There's not a whole lot of them. It's a remnant. It's something that carries on. It's a hope. You're not always going to be the most popular or the most liked or that everybody claps for you. When it comes to having humility and integrity, because what that brings is truth, some people don't want to hear the truth. So they're not always going to be clapping you in the room. Yes, to bring the pain. Yes, we love this. It's not always going to happen. That's what happened to Daniel. Even though all that Daniel did, all the amazing encounters he's had with God and helped kings through, not just people, kings, the people that could lop their head off in a moment. If you said the wrong thing to them, they had all right to wipe you from this earth. He approached them with confidence because he knew who he was in God. So, this is what happened to Darius. He talked to the wrong people. He listened, and we'll move on from there. Because Daniel was so self-aware, he was able to speak in the lives of many, especially kings. So Darius had a board of directors, one of them being Daniel, and there was a lot of them. And so, like I said, you can see the conflict. So as soon as he starts announcing, hey, this guy that's foreign to us, I'm about to put him in charge. You can imagine the feelings that they begin to have of jealousy. They begin to have jealousy. Jealousy is one of those things that you can directly link to pride. Pride is something that it blinds us, it confuses us, and it can often, I can very confidently say, if you have a jealousy problem, you are self-unaware. Because if you were self-aware of yourself and God, you wouldn't be worried about what other people are doing. You're only worried about one, and that's God. And so the Persians at this time, I'm sure they're saying things like, what's this non-Persian doing? Is he going to take the reins of this place? What's up with that? They're at the water cooler. They're talking about it, you know. It's a slow murmur. I'm sure this is happened to you. We get jealous, and this is always the way it plays out. We get jealous of somebody that's doing what we do or doing something we want to do. We see something that they, and then we want that, and then we begin to argue with God. It's like, why don't I get to have that? I mean, people begin to band around you because, remember, the majority, they're getting jealous in this moment. They're banding together and going, why does Daniel get this? What are we going to do about this? We can't let this non-Persian come in here and take this away. Jealousy is something we all deal with. Those engines of envy that begin to get going, and when we feel that, the first thing that we need to do when we feel jealous, I feel jealous at times. As a pastor, I follow other pastors in churches, and sometimes I know these guys and girls, and I knew them in Bible college. I'm like, how is it possible that they get what they're getting? The truth is, God didn't call me on what they're doing, their appointment. God called me to what I'm doing. So I don't need to worry about what's going on there. And at times I've had to unfollow because sometimes the jealousy gets into me. It happens to everybody. It happens to all of us. But what we need to do is talk to God. When we feel that jealousy rising up in us, we got to talk to God. Say, God, just be honest with him. Say, Lord, I don't like it that they got that and I didn't. I don't like it that they get to live this life and I don't. Chances are what God's going to ask you to do, and he says it in Scripture, it says, pray for them. Man, you want to become self-aware fast, pray for your enemies. Pray for the people you don't like. You don't know why anybody else likes them, okay? Pray for them, because I guarantee you, God will start laying some truth on you in your life and how it's linked to pride. It also says in Scripture that weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. There's not a caveat in there. It doesn't follow and say, only with the people you like. No, it says weep with those who weep. That means everybody who weeps, even the people you don't like, you can't stand. It says rejoice with the people who rejoice. That means rejoice with the people you don't like and the people you like. That's easy doing with the people you like, but rejoice with those you can't stand, because that's what God asks you to do. It doesn't make sense to us. Sometimes it hurts, but it's a God thing. That's what it's, he's purposely doing something in us. One of the most evil sides of social media is jealousy. It's envy. Social media is the highlight reels of people's lives. And the dangers of it is we get on there and we see only the good stuff. We have photographers in this church who can make personal accounts of this. They'll go on and they'll post something and they'll say, oh, look at these great pictures you took of this family, and they'll advertise it. And I'll see them and I'm like, man, they look like a happy family. It's like, okay, those were just moments. Okay, that was a split second. You should have been there for the rest of it. It was hell. You know, it was there. They were fighting. They were bickering. Guys, you can't always believe what you see on social media or what only people want to show off. Most of the time, it's not the real, okay? It's not what's natural. It's not what's actually happening. I've debated in my life of just showing what actually happens. It would scare people off, I'm sure. I would lose my credentials and all those things. We end up doing this thing, and it's social media and just in life is where we end up in the one-up. We talked about this in the first week. If you're a person that's constantly having to one-up, someone comes and tells a story about a vacation they had, you're like, oh, well, I did that, but there was a celebrity there, and I had, if you're constantly having to one-up, that's a vicious cycle that's seated in envy and jealousy, because you can't stand that someone would have something better than you. Self-unaware. So all of his advisors, all of Darius' advisors were completely self-unaware. Whenever you're making decisions, whether they're macro or micro, whether they're big or little, there will always be people there who are jealous and who would love to tell you how to do it. Would love to. And I said they will give it to you like it's gold. You go with it. The funny thing is, the Daniels in your life, you don't listen to them. Afterwards, you realize, I should have listened to so-and-so, whoever that is in your life. There's always going to be the wrong people telling you the wrong thing to do. God will always bring those Daniels into your life, but you got to look for them. You got to have them there in front of you and be willing to talk to them. So often, we want to avoid the Daniels that God brings in our life because they bring the truth, and the truth hurts. And today, we're celebrating moms, and I love mothers, and I'm so thankful for mine, but there's times that my mom will love me so much that she just kind of powders my bottom and tells me I'm awesome and gives me out. Sometimes the truth needs to be heard. We can't just ignore the people that bring the truth in our lives, because it'll send us down a path of destruction. Look for the Daniels. Lean into them, because they will bring you truth in love. So we're going to pick up Daniel 6:6. This is how it went down. So the administrators and the high officers went, meaning all of them. All of them. Remember, the majority is not always right. Usually, they're wrong. As a Christian, we're always swimming upstream. We're always going against the current. If you go and read through the Bible, you will find that when God's people vote on things, most of the time they vote against God's will. Because the majority is usually wrong, because the majority wants to do what feels good. Continue on. So the administrators and the officers went to the king and said, long live King Darius. We are all in agreement. All? Are you sure? What about Daniel? What about him? See, they immediately lied and exaggerated. When you have the wrong people in your life, they will take a little bit of truth and they will bend it. They will bend it to hopefully to get you to do what they want you to do. That's how it works. That's how they operate. They will lie and bend truth. And it says they voted. They're all in agreement. Like I said, most of the time you find when they voted in Scripture, they vote outside the will of God. The majority is usually wrong. Continue on. It says, we are all in agreement that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced, meaning an absolute, like doesn't matter who it is. Give orders that for 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except you, your majesty, again, they're playing that pride card, they're boosting him up, will be thrown into the den of lions. They play to Darius's pride. They didn't care. See, that's the truth about the majority. When they come and want to bend you, they don't care about you. They want to use you to get what they want. His people, his own advisors, were so filled with jealousy and pride, they were willing to tamper and manipulate their king to get what they wanted. Dangerous, dangerous move, dangerous stuff. They wanted to take out Daniel because they were jealous. A negative group will always take someone and throw them under the bus. But in my life, what I have found, when a group of negative people want to take a person out they're intimidated by and they're jealous of, they'll start that bus down. Most of the time, they end up getting run over by their own bus. If you stick with God, they will get run over by their own bus. I have seen it happen. It's great. I shouldn't embellish in it, but it feels really good sometimes, guys. I'm not going to lie. When you see that bus come back, it's like, yeah! I'll pray about that one. Darius made an emotional decision and made his decree. He made it so, made it law. Why didn't he talk to Daniel? He knew who Daniel was and what Daniel represented. He knew. Why didn't he talk to them? Because he knew Daniel was going to tell him the truth. He didn't want to hear the truth. He loved hearing your majesty. You are the king. You're on high. He got off on that high that he was having from that high of pride. So we continue on. It became really difficult because their men played to him in such a degree that caused him to make such a dumb, dumb decision. The best decisions in life aren't always easy. Marriage is not an easy decision. Some of you made a great decision. I'm looking in the room, I see you guys. You made some great decision, guys. Way to go. I'm proud of you. You needed to make that decision. They really helped you. But it's not always going to be easy. But the thing about it, and this is what Daniel figured out, that if you please God, it doesn't matter who you displease. Yep. If you're pleasing God in your life, it doesn't matter what the whole earth thinks. It always baffles me how somebody is so concerned about Joe Schmo down the road who has a Google account and can write a review, so worried about what they think, rather than the one who created the universe, the one who made you, put this world into motion. There is not, Joe Schmo down the street can't create anything. They have a lot of time on their hands because they can't do anything because they're too busy on the web judging other people. You got to listen to God. That's the one you got to be worried about pleasing. Because if you displease God, it won't matter on earth who you're pleasing. If you displease God, and we learned that with Belshazzar. If we displease God, it doesn't matter who you please here on earth. Because God's the one who created you. He can end it all. He can take it away, or he can give you everything. That's where Daniel was. Daniel was pleasing to an audience of one. Only one. Daniel 6:13, it says, then they told the king, that man Daniel, they pointed him out. If Daniel was already there, if all of them were already there, he would be there to speak for himself. He didn't have that chance. That man Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, is ignoring you and your law. He's playing to his pride. They've already built him up, saying you're above us, but this one disrespects you. If he would have talked to Daniel, he would have known something better, but he didn't. And then they added this part, and I thought this was interesting, that he still prays to his God 3 times a day. They could have just said one time. They could have said he still prays to his God, but they said 3 times. I don't know if they had baseball. It was like 3 strikes, he's out, get him. You know, he's still praying to him. He's not just disrespecting you once or by accident. He's intentionally disrespecting you, playing to his pride. The haters will lie. They will always exaggerate. So don't believe the haters in your life. How you can find out if you have a hater in your life, if you're talking to somebody and they constantly talk bad about other people, and you're wondering if they talk bad about you, chances are really good. Chances are very good, okay? Because who are you that they wouldn't talk about you? Those are not Daniels. Those are not the people you should be coming to with big decisions, because they're too busy looking about other people's lives to know anything about their own. Avoid the haters. Darius was surrounded by haters. When you listen to the haters on social media and all that stuff, it can send you on a roller coaster ride up and down about yourself, about others, and majority of it isn't real. So here we are. The decree has been made. The law is in place. And they're like, all right, king, he's done it. They set the trap. What are you going to do, King Darius? All powerful, what are you going to do? So what he has to do, he takes Daniel and he lobs him into the lion's den. He gathers everybody and he gets him in there. Are you facing a Darius decision in your life right now? Are you at a crossroads where your pride is in jeopardy based on the decision you have to make? He could have switched. He could have said, no, I'm not going to do this, but his pride wouldn't let him. Pride wouldn't let him. Who are you listening to? Are you listening to God or listening to people squawking in your ear? We have to listen to the Daniels in our life. We have to listen to God in our life. Daniels, and here's the thing about Daniels, they don't blow up your phone. They're not going to beg you to make the right decision. They're not going to hunt you down and say, whoa, don't do that. They're not going to do that. Because they're self-aware. They know who they are in God. And there's nothing about your life that's going to change their relationship with God. So they're not going to hunt you down. They're not going to make you make the right decision. So you have to seek them out. You have to look for them in your life. Look for the signs of Daniels, the people that have integrity, humility, who speak truth in love. A lot of times you can find them in the house of God. Daniel 6:18, this is what it continues on to say. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night fasting. He refused his usual entertainment and couldn't sleep all night. Have you ever made a decision in your life and you're like, when you go home, the TV shows that you know and love don't seem to make you happy? That comfort food that you can always return to after a bed can't just seem to do it for you. You're still not happy. You toss and turn all night and you just can't sleep over that decision. You're like, just something wasn't right about that choice that I made. That's where Darius was. That's where he was in this moment. And I feel like this was echoing his head just a few scriptures before in Daniel 6:16. It says, this is what he says to Daniel as he's about to go into the lions. He says, may your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you. He doesn't even realize it. He's probably trying to mock, but he actually just prayed for Daniel. He just petitioned for Daniel that his God, who is the God, the only God, Yahweh, to rescue him. I'm sure as he's laying in his night in his king bed, I guess it was a water bed maybe, I don't know what the king's bed was at that time, you know, and he's sloshing around, he can't sleep all night. So what happens next? The king woke up early, just like everybody when we're struggling with those difficult decisions that we've made. He woke up early. He ran out of that bed. He ran down to that den in hopes to maybe save just a portion of his life. And you're going to see some gruesome mess what the lions have done to him. But he looks down, and what does he see? Daniel is there napping. He is napping with the lions. He is chilling with them. He's laying on them. He's scratching their head. He's petting them. He's already named them. He's got Whiskers over. He's like, hey, let me introduce you to Whiskers right here. This is Mr. Meowington. Over there is Babushka. This is Kitty Poppins over here. Got Katy Perry on that one. Yeah, I knew I'd like that one. He looks down and he sees that he's just in absolute peace. In the Bible, it says that a messenger was sent When he went down to the pit, a messenger was sent. Some say it was, in translations, it was a stone placed on the lion's mouth. Some say the messenger literally just came and closed the mouth of the lion. Some scholars believe that was like a pre-incarnate form of Jesus coming to save his own. Beautiful. When you stick with God and you stay with humility and integrity and stick to the truth, there's going to be times when the mockers, the people try to persecute you, and this is the biggest insult to them you could ever, they come along, they want to view your life in the aftermath, and you're completely good. It's all good. I don't worry about these things because my God's got me. That's where Daniel was. Man, what a proud moment he probably had coming up. He had them all named, it all ready to go, that when the one that threw him in there came to see that he's just fine. It's kind of the way that Jesus does this, the way he came to pre-incarnate, come shut the mouths of the lions. That's what God wants to do for us. He knows that we're going to face difficulties in our lives. Jesus knows that we're going to face hard things. Some of you are probably facing hard things right now, difficult decisions, things going on. It's a lot like when we're celebrating moms today. It's kind of like mama bears, okay? How they want to protect us. Mamas can't always keep us from the bad things, but they want to jump in. I am married to a mama bear, to two little fiery children. And there's times in life where I'm like having to hold her back, say, whoa, it's just a little kid. Don't scratch his eyes out, okay? I know he pushed our kid, but it's okay. They'll survive. Let him talk it out. That's what God wants to do for us. He wants to protect us. If we will stick with him, he will come in and shut the mouths of the ones that come to destroy us. He will do it, but you have to stick with him. Daniel, of course, emerges from that pit victorious because of what God did. And guess who gets thrown into the pit next? Remember that bus that's coming right back for him? All the people that tried to set Daniel up and use the king, he took all of them and their family and threw them into the pit to be destroyed. That's the way it goes down. That's the way it happens when it comes to the things of God. Self-awareness. When we know the one who knows us better than ourselves, he will show us integrity and consistency and what devotion is all about. That is what Daniel lived by. It didn't always make him popular. It didn't always make everybody like him. But man, there was only one that needed to please. So if you want to be self-aware, you want to have the consistency and courage. You want to be a difference maker. You want to follow God. You want to be a Daniel. You have to stay connected to God. And one of the best ways to do that, and Daniel, yes, was a lone shark sometimes. And some of us like to say, I don't need to be a part of a church. You know, I believe in God, and I'm going to go on my own. Trust me, you don't want Daniel's life. Okay, if God has called you to be a lone wolf out there, you're about to face some difficult stuff, okay? So when it comes to knowing God and staying in his will, don't neglect one of the greatest things that Jesus created for us, and that's the church. We want to be the Daniels in your life. We want to be the ones that encourage you and help steer you on the right path so God can do great things in your life. Don't avoid it. Embrace it. Be a part of it. Stay connected, stay strong, stay committed like Daniel was to God. By his Holy Spirit will make you aware of things you never thought possible. There will be moments in your life when you feel like all the chips are against you. The decision that you're making might be your end. And then God will come and do something miraculous because of your faith. He will pull a Daniel moment in your life. And I want to see that happen. Stick with them. Think about your decisions and how you make them. Who are you going to? Is it the majority or is it the Daniels? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for all that you do in our life, God. Thank you that, man, you didn't just say figure it out, but you sent your son to connect with us, to build a bridge, to reach out to us, and to create ways to stay connected with you so that when we hit those hard decisions in our life, Lord, that we can rely on you, that you will see us through. Even though we can't see the end, the finish line, you know how to get us there. Lord, thank you for the Daniels in our life. Lord, I pray that we do not miss them. Each and every one of us has Daniels in our life, and I pray that we will open our eyes to who they are, and we begin to lean into them. The people that bring truth in love so that we can stay on the right path with you. And Lord, I pray that for Village Heights as a whole, as a church, that we will produce Daniels and not Dariuses. Lord, thank you so much for all that you do. Bless this church, bless these people, and bless our moms. We're thankful for them and everything that you do, Lord. We thank you in your name, Jesus. Amen.